ראשון השביעי בינואר.
Yes, it's all right.
I'm a little bit down here. Is it all right?
Yes, yes, it is.
Can it be all right?
Yes.
Yes. When I once asked you about your lecture, the way you lecture, I asked, you gave me quite a long reply about the incredible nervousness and the and your attitude and everything. But I asked you also whether this rich world of metaphors are they prepared in advance?
No,
they are all
no. It's entirely done. I just repeat myself by nature. That's how I talk.
But you invent the metaphor
as I go along. As I go along, nothing's prepared. I have no idea what the next sentence will be.
It's incredible.
I know in general what I'm going to say, but in very general terms. No, I don't think I have the slightest anticipation of anything I say. On the whole, I regret this about myself because I say everything three times, but maybe one goes as fast as I do. It's the only way of doing
it.
Yes, but it's not deliberate. I'm not aware of it. Have you say you always speak in metaphors? Do you know that? I do not know that. I'm not even conscious of it. Not even now.
That's incredible.
It is true, however.
Now I'm sure.
Much that is incredible, I mean, is true.
By the way, of course you have this capability, incredible capability, because when we speak, you invent metaphors.
As I go along.
I don't know what we are. I know. And yet, in your lectures, sometimes one can't believe that they were not prepared.
No, nothing.
Now,
the only thing which is prepared are the notes.
Now, let's say there is one such a sentence in one of your lectures. I can't remember what it was. To thinking is to relate, to classify, to symbolize, to interpret.
Very good.
Very nice. Now, the fact that you didn't add to analyze, is it just by chance? There is more to that?
No, there's no more. I should have said that.
You should have said
that. Yes.
I see.
No reason or not.
I see.
It's a mistake not to have done it.
I see.
Certainly. What do I say? To think is to
relate, classify, symbolize, interpret. It was in a lecture.
Yes, I don't know whether I don't think to think is to analyze.
Oh, so
but there may be something in that.
So there is
to analyze, to analyze. It's a particular application of thought, but not every form of thinking is analysis.
That's it. But that is
whereas every form of thinking is these four things.
So it's not by chance.
No. Well, no, but since you ask me,
yes.
I ask, should I have said analyze?
Yes.
I've just said yes. But no. I mean, there is such things, analytical thinking,
yes.
And there is pure description,
yes.
Which has all these four, four elements.
In the pure description, you have to relate to classical, yes, symbol, yes.
Well, if I say the cat,
the
interpreter is on the edge. But if I say the cat is on the mat,
yes.
That's not a thought.
Yes.
That's a perception. Let's think of a very simple thought. I'm tired. That's interpretation, yes. Involves. Well, the same thing as classifying, anyway.
Now, you have such strong inclination toward classification.
Yes.
I mean, you always...
I like lists.
Like to classify.
Lists.
Now,
it's a kind of game.
And when one reads you, one is of course amazed by the way you do it on topics from all kinds of topics or angles. And yet, I don't think that I find very often a natural inclination to divide in time terms. I mean, there are not many cases of automatic periodization. Let's say,
could be.
Let's
could
say,
be true, yes.
I don't know. I mean, it may be
it
just
be,
an observation.
It could be true, yes.
Let's say if I ask you, during a lecture, when you come to the problem of, let's say, your biography, would you immediately, automatically divide it into periods?
Yes.
As you can classify?
Yes.
You
yes.
can.
Absolutely.
You can
absolutely. It's quite natural to me.
How would you divide it?
Every 10 years.
Now we are
taking in decades.
In decades.
10 years.
In your case.
In my case.
Why in
decades? Because I always changed everything. In my life, I didn't do anything much longer than 10 years. There was always some change at approximately. At those points, there were breaks. First, there's a Russian bit. That's about 10 years. 11. Then there is school and university. That's another 10 years, 1930, 31, 32. Then there is all sales until the war, 32 to 40, right? In Oxford, 8 years. Well, the war is not 10 years, but the war is exceptional, right? That's only 5 years. But after that, I go to all sales in 50. Which between 40 and 50 is 10 years. 50 I start a new life in all sorts, which is different from my life in New College. 50, and I become professor in 57, and then, or 67, I think. And then I go to Wolfson in 65. Well, that's a break of 7 and 7, not 10 and 10, but still near enough. Near enough. After that, I'm at Wolfson for 9 years. I tend to change direction approximately every 8, 9, 10, 11 years.
Now, then, if I would try to tell you that my impression is that if we have to speak about radical changes in your life, the impression I got, I would have said, let's say, coming to England,
of course,
the break of the Second World War, because America
certainly
was an infant
something
in you,
totally new,
and your marriage
totally new. Yes, these are breaks.
I mean, that can be
certainly quite correct.
Which means
there's a genuine crisis.
It depends in what mood you are when you think about.
Yes, exactly. But I think in terms, simply because I decided. In thinking about my life, but it's a joke. I happen to do it at 10-year intervals. But that's not strictly true, I agree. But you are right. Those the big crises are the arrival from Russia. In a way, what did you say? Oxford is a break, too.
Sure.
Oxford is a break.
Sure.
It's a complete abandonment of Jewish life is what it is. Oxford is a break, America is a break, marriage is a break. Total break, of course.
I mean,
changes my whole direction.
Absolutely. That I realized.
Yes, certainly.
Yeah.
Well, and socially too.
Yeah.
I have become, my social life is transformed. Right? I meet people, and before that I'm a don. I'm an absolute don like other dons. Not very different. All sales is perhaps more connected with the what's called the upper class or the wider world than other colleges would be, but still. I'm a typical Oxford don. Over typical. Like a Jew, I always go too far. Almost exaggerated.
Yeah.
And don, you didn't know me. Then I can assure you, I'm super academic. After the war and after meeting the people in England particularly, I begin to go to salons. And begin staying in country houses, and begin knowing the upper classes, which I've never completely ceased from doing. And more or less, yes, because Aileen doesn't like it too much. So after that, it all came to an end. But still, it half goes on.
The impact of England, double or threefold. I mean, on the one hand, the very 5 years that you stayed there. I mean, and...
You're talking about America.
America, sorry.
Is it England?
I mean, the job you did. And, and
the, for the new world.
The new world.
New world, yes.
But on the other hand, the social impact is very interesting, and that just because of the party, probably, the relations you established while being there. And
without doubt.
Mainly, probably, because of the reputation of your letter.
Well, that's why I got back to Old Souls. The,
not only, yes.
The warden of Old Souls, Sumner, was a very good Russian historian who didn't fundamentally like me and thought I was liable to waste time. But he was, although he was a pure scholar and apparently very austere and idealistic, he was deeply influenced by worldly considerations and the fact that important fellows of All Souls came back from the war, including people, his greatest friend in Balliol was Macmillan, who was a contemporary. You see, the people like that came and said, praise my work, made a huge impact on him. It was disgraceful. Now that should have been a reason, but it certainly was.
I mean, it grew into the dimension of a myth.
In America, yes. In America.
I mean, it came to the...
In America.
Yes,
I know that one.
You know all that. I mean, that's the social impact.
In America, there was a myth.
Even
much more in America.
I mean, we in Israel, everyone knew about it.
But that came from America.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I was a myth, it's absolutely true. I was a myth in America. Because all the American journalists did it. And a lot of people in Washington that saw me in that way. And that's how I traveled to England. In England, you came through government departments,
yeah.
Which was not all that... That doesn't go so far. I mean, if you see,
yeah.
What I mean is, if I met academics in England, they knew nothing about this.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. America, they did.
Ah.
I got to Harvard in 59 entirely because George Kennan recommended me. And I would never have got to Washington if it hadn't been for that. My American world was not academic.
Though you kept more contact with academics in America than I thought, not...
Yes.
I mean, I thought that... I even spoke about it on the radio, that your main... that you are fascinating in America by the political life, I mean, by the way... I think that you even thought that it was a good example of intellectuals having impact on politics. I mean, the Frankfurters
No, I wasn't particularly impressed by that.
No.
It's true, but it's of no interest to me.
No.
Some people are. I mean, it is a great American thesis, particularly under Kennedy, the importance of bringing academics to public life.
Yes.
No, I don't. Didn't pay any attention. That isn't the thing I thought about.
No? That it
no.
is a good example of
no.
Intellectuals...
In politics. Yes, true.
Because it
true.
Used you to be impressed. Because the only, it
didn't.
The only example...
I know. Well, I was one.
And not revolutionary.
Because I was one. It's exactly what happened to me.
No,
after all.
No, I'm speaking of...
My own case.
But
my own case was there.
Yeah.
My work in Washington was exactly parallel
yes.
to theirs. New Deal, of course.
Well,
but no, I was totally fascinated by New Deal, but not by the fact that intellectuals brought into it. I happened to meet them. I talked to them. I found it more natural to talk to them because they were, you see. But the proposition of the union of politics and academic life in America, though it's a fact, constantly commented on by American observers, was not something which I thought about.
Well, you see, the fact that you were intellectuals and others, that doesn't mean anything because in the war, all your friends participated.
In government, yes.
Now you can see how one can err. I was sure that as this is the best, if not the only example, of intellectuals playing major role in politics, except in revolution times.
But America?
Yes.
America is an example.
That it would have appealed to you, that it would have combined...
No.
I read...
Not at all.
It is,
not at all.
I
didn't
So
but the idea is a good idea. It didn't pass through my head. Absolutely. It didn't go through my head. Never mind.
No,
very well. God helped. But let me tell you, it isn't quite true. Intellectuals played an equal part in French history. After the revolution. After? No. Not at all. 1830s, 1840s. I can assure you. The ministers of Louis Philippe were professors to a high degree. Guizot was a professor. Thiers was a kind of academic writer. Victor Cousin, who was the Minister of Education, was a professor. In France, they did play a part at all times.
Oh, yes.
In the 19th century.
And I think that you can find probably other...
No, France.
Just
becoming ministers.
Shaping ideology.
That happened in France.
Only in revolution.
No, not at all. It happened in France right through the beginning of the 19th century, as it happens. Let me assure you that the whole of the ideology of Louis Philippe's reign, enrichissez-vous, the whole business of bourgeoisie being on top, was invented by intellectuals, not by politicians. Really is so. Germany, no. Well, mind you, even in Germany, even though they were not ministers, German national consciousness was built by professors. Built by professors.
Oh, yes. That's true.
As you know,
yes.
Nationalist professors. Don't exclude that. The influence of Mommsen, Treitschke, what's his name? Ranke, Treitschke, Mommsen. Siebel, all these political professors. Wilamowitz Möllendorf, who was a violent nationalist. Nationalistic professors with ideologies are a German speciality. In England, no. Because English don't, are not interested in ideas. England, no. No. No, John Stuart Mill could have been a professor. But that's not the point.
But
he didn't interest very much.
Intellectuals get the ultimate power. It's only the Robespierre and the Lenin. I mean, it comes to the ultimate power. Only
ultimate powers, yes. But they never had in America either.
No, because they have not
done. Nobody came to the top from the intellectual classes.
I mean,
no president.
Woodrow
was the nearest to it. Salazar, you could say. It's not a very good example.
Yes.
Salazar. Of course, but he was. Undoubtedly. Salazar, Woodrow Wilson, and plenty of professors who came to power.
I mean, in Italy.
Pain-Levé for a short time, Prime Minister of France, eminent mathematician.
Léon Blum.
Yes. Never academic.
Yes,
he did.
Not academic, but
intellectual. Mendes France, not very intellectual. Ideologist. Herman Blum, yes. Less than you might think. Mendes France was simply a socialist who probably read books.
He read,
no doubt.
And conceptualized.
Yes, yes. Well, he had socialist ideas.
And clear mind.
He had socialist ideas. But that you can say about Gateshill, too. You can say it about Gateshill. Papandreou. Our friend.
But, I mean, when intellectuals get to power, and particularly to the center of power, they become less intellectual.
That's what happens, yes.
Hmm? But there is nothing good in it. At the same context of division in time, let's say, if I attack you in a question, well, how would you divide the 20th century? Would you have immediate reply?
You mean periodization?
Yes.
No. No.
That's what I was going to tell you, that you have an instinct for classification in many other...
But not by periods.
Not by periods.
I think it's true.
I mean, we'll sit down 5 minutes and think. I'll
tell you. I have thought about 5 minutes about the 20th century, but it's not periodized. The whole 20th century.
Well, that is...
Yes. Because why I did it, because I had to get money from Wolfson College.
Yes.
And in that connection, I wrote a piece. I can't write, may have sent it to the Ford Foundation, or I may not. But what I said was, the dew in every century has a certain color, a certain shape, a certain pattern, from the point of view of people who look on it from a later period. The 17th century is a period in England, at least, of religious wars, revolution, and poetry. Religion and poetry. 18th century is certainly everywhere the period of elegance, of shape, of form, in poetry, in architecture, in life. Comparatively peaceful period in which a certain neoclassicism goes through everything. Some kind of imitation of an imaginary classical world. Everywhere. The 19th century is an age of social problems, of the novel, and of, to some degree, of explosions. Social explosions. Yes. The 20th century has in it two important things which never happened before. One is the Russian Revolution and its aftermath, fascism, etc., direct consequence. The other is science and technology, which made strides never made before. Those are the major phenomena of the 20th century, for which not poetry, not the novel, not painting, not music. Oh, it's 19th century music. I did that there. Certainly. With 18th, but I mean, particularly 18th, 19th music, certainly. These are the two outstanding. Now, St. Anthony's looks after the Russian Revolution. Wolfson has to look after science.
Now, so that's a brilliant expose. Written with a certain...
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Have you had to write about the 20th century in a different...
I might not have done.
You might have done.
But when I ask myself, when I ask myself, what does it stand for? I wouldn't have asked myself the question. Having asked the question, it's the only answer I could give. You see? But of course I had a... Of course I had a... it was not a pure... idea that came by itself. It was certainly intended to have practical consequences. Propaganda. The propagandist.
Right.
I think it's true. It was propaganda, but I think it's true.
Yeah.
I don't think Zinentis looks after the Russian Revolution, and I don't think that Wolfson looks after science. That's another matter.
That's another story. Yes. But let's say...
I must tell you in connection with this. I received a visit yesterday from a very nice man who used to be ambassador in Moscow, called Cartledge, who was the Nantes once. And he's been made a member of a committee of three by Baker, Minister of Education, to report on Russian Soviet studies in England. It's quite a good man for that purpose. I don't know who the other two are, but I think he did tell me. Anyhow, and he then said to me, what about Oxford? And I said, Russian studies in Oxford on the whole are dead. St. Anthony's, well, Shukman, very nice man, I said, yes, but I mean, there was, what's his name?
Harry
Willis. Harry Willis, who was somebody, there was Katkov, who was eccentric and curious, but still he was a personality, was Max Hayward. These were people. Now, nothing. The professor of literature, Jerry Smith, is a good man. But the rest are nothing. For Obolensky was the best professor of Russian history in Europe, if not the world. He's retired.
Obolensky?
Yes.
Dmitry. He's Byzantine history.
Mm-hmm. Russian history. Professor of Russian history. He is a Byzantinist.
Yes, I mean, yes,
of course, but he knows the whole of early Russian history. Yes, but he knows Russian history inside out. He knows, early Russian history is a speciality. Yes. Up to the terrible. But if you ask him about 19th century, he knows enough.
I mean, it's delight to see him.
Of course, it's another matter. Of course, and he went to Cervantes. But certainly. Oh, of course he does. We see him at, I don't know who his friends are.
Kindersley,
of course.
Friends of the Kindersley.
Yes, of course they are. Yes, yes. Yes.
With Willits, you never know, Mr.
He liked Willits. Yes, but he greatly admired Willits.
I'm sure.
He did admire him.
I mean, everyone.
I know.
I've
now discovered something about that business about funerals. Jewish funerals. I've cleared it up. I complained to Mrs. Kocher about two scandals. One was Mrs. Willits and the other was Hellman.
Hellman?
Yes. Yes. Now, my view, I was told, first of all, that they wouldn't bury Mrs. Willits because she was not a member of the Jewish community and because she didn't pay dues, which is not true. It's not true. That is not the reason. I was surprised. But that's what Pat told me. It's what Willits told her. It just isn't the case. The second was Elman. They said, well, the reason for not burying him was again the same thing, that not in the community, and which is true enough, but of course his parents were Jews. So I complained. I said, it's scandalous. Anybody who's a Jew is entitled to be buried in the Jewish community. Now the answer is the following. In the case of Willits, he was cremated. It's an Orthodox synagogue. That is under halakha, not allowed. They're right. I mean, if they ever, since they're members of the United Synagogue, they can't help it. You see, nothing wrong with it. If they insist on cremating him or it, I have never, some the liberal synagogue does it.
Okay.
The reform synagogue, liberal, I don't know. I think they do.
They do. I know.
Whereas the United Synagogue does not. You needn't be super Orthodox. They don't. They believe in resurrection of the body, in theory. The last time he's seen, nothing at all. In the case of Elman, they did not want him buried in the Jewish part of the cemetery. They wanted to have a Jewish service outside the Jewish cemetery.
The family?
Yes. And that they couldn't do. So they did bury him outside, but somebody read something.
So why did the family want him to be buried outside?
Because she's a goyah.
And on the other hand,
he wanted to be buried given a Jewish funeral. Yes. But they didn't want him to be buried in Jewish cemetery. Whatever the reason, that is the answer. She inquired from a man called Wilfried Faust, who is quite a nice man, who is in charge. You see? The story was different. The story was that...
The scandal of Jonathan Weber.
Weber, exactly. Nonsense. That is not true. None of this is true. I was able to dictate a letter to Zanka, dictated to the Pat, who didn't protest.
I think Russian studies now in Oxford. They're going to be in a really bad position.
Sure. The only universities which are going to be encouraged are Birmingham. Apparently there's a new professor called, I forgot his name, from Bristol, who is rather good. I don't know.
Birmingham has a good department.
And there's a good department, more or less, in, I think, Nottingham. There's an old Russian department. It's supposed to be quite good. I don't know who the professor is.
A lecturer very...
Glasgow used to have a Soviet department. It's collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very sad that the English should have... London, the professor of Russian history is not good. Professor of Russian literature is worthless. That's, what's his name? Freeborn. Was Oxford. No good. There are one, two people who probably know something. Cambridge, no good at all.
I told them, I mean, whenever he chooses people now, it's true that he has no choice but to take international relations people and so on, but let him try still to find people with some cultural background, because the people with a cultural background, like Harry Willits, like others, are disappearing, and it will change the character of the college.
He knows, I'm sure he sympathizes. He understands it.
Oh, yes.
I mean, Archie Brown, I expect, will be kept in the end. Not much cultural background.
He's not based on his
culture. No. Nice man.
Mark
intelligent.
Elvin
is.
You know him personally?
Oh, yes, I know Elvin. I knew his father. I knew his uncle. His father did not have it. His father, the grandsons of a trade union leader.
Grandson of?
Trade union leader.
Yes.
Old Elvin. Was a straight working man, like Carr and whatnot. He had two sons. One was a rather crazy minor cinema expert who was in Moscow in my day. He was a doorkeeper at the British Embassy because he wanted to be in Moscow because he was very left wing. He turned into a ferocious anti-Soviet, of course. But when I was in Moscow, when Cripps was there, Cripps said, "Well, Elvin, what do your Russian friends say?" He said, "I wouldn't repeat the word they say to a class enemy." He would say to Cripps. But in the end, of course, he became ferociously and married a ballerina, or Violetta, who came to England and immediately divorced him. Very pretty girl. The brother was the man who was head of... He was head of... Surely of the place here, the Working Men's College.
Ah, really?
Ruskin? Ruskin. Exactly. He was a labor figure.
Labor figure dealing with education.
That's right.
Then he had another, I think he had an appointment
in London. Could very well be.
And now, Mark tells me, by the way, that Trinity role in Cambridge treats him very nicely, his father. I mean,
what is his father now? Is he alive?
But very old and was given a party.
What was he at 20 old?
Yes,
has not graduated?
Japan.
Very likely. Very likely, yes, all right. Very nice man, the father. I know the father. Sincere, honest, high-minded man. Very decent.
And Mark is a combination of a good contemporary...
He's a proletarian. He's a proletarian, the father. Fundamentally, proletarian. I mean, he's not middle class. He loves middle class.
I think that Mark is more concerned.
Oh, yes?
But anyway,
and different anyway. Is he?
Mark.
I have no idea.
I mean,
the father would be too. The father, by nature, would be.
He told me the other night that I mean, if people say that St. Anthony's SCR is interesting place, so it's at least 50% due to the
Israeli flood. You can't ask for more.
I really...
You can't ask for more. Very good. Very good. Very good, you can't ask for more.
Because it's true that we have people who deal with contemporary studies, but with classic education, and we still maintain
his standard.
Yes.
Tell me. This now we talk about Bartov. He was a Wolfson fellow.
He was not.
He was not.
No, he came here to write his thesis.
To But still.
No, he came here to write a thesis, and he got your help from Geneva.
Oh, I see, because it says something about Wolfson in his testimonial.
You
I see, all right.
Yes. Yeah, but in this way, because, I mean, Wolfson's fellow can't be a PhD.
No, no, exactly. Of course not. They're very good.
Now, your...
He can be. Theoretically, he can be a PhD student. Nobody, in theory, you can take a BA.
No, in the terms of reference of the college?
The college, no.
What
of the...
What do you mean? So maybe we have in mind different things. What is a Wolfson fellow?
Oh, no, I'm sorry, I'm talking about the Rothschild fellows. I apologize. Yes, exactly. I'm talking Rothschild fellows in Wolfson.
Yes.
I didn't say.
Yes, I know. But he was not a Rothschild fellow.
No, no, all right.
Now,
continue.
Why did you write the article, Does Political Theory Still Exist in French?
Because I was commissioned. I was asked. I was I had a letter from the particular journal.
Yes.
What is it called? Where it originated?
Something
or other. Who said there is a particular, there is a, this is devoted to this particular topic.
Yes.
Does political theory still exist? Would you make a contribution?
Now, and...
I think Ray Maron was somebody who was written to me.
And it was a thesis that you willingly wrote about.
I can't remember. Yes, I did.
Sure.
Yes, I'm sure I did.
I'm sure I did. Because of your attitude, so the...
Well, I was a professor, probably, by that time. When was it written?
61, probably.
Well, I was a professor of a subject I didn't intend to let it be thought was dead.
Yeah, but on the other hand, your criticism, it was a good opportunity to criticize the negative role of the behavioral studies on...
Of course.
I mean, that's the main reason.
Of course.
Did he prompt reaction?
None. To my knowledge, none. Not a word.
I mean, they are all naked there.
Not a word. Don't think anybody read it. In France, I'm sure they didn't. And in England, it appeared in this anthology, edited by Runciman and Lively. I think it was Lively and Runciman. I think there's two. There are four volumes of essays on political topics, political theory. It appeared as one of them, and nobody took faintest interest.
No, I mean, it's an article that is mentioned and referred to, and people speak of. I mean, I can tell you. But I was expecting you up to, I mean...
No storm.
No
storm. No reaction, whatever. Don't think they read it.
No, they read it.
I don't think so.
The whole young generation of political scientists.
I doubt it.
Maybe
now, because it's reprinted in the little volume of mine.
In the political concept and category.
Exactly.
Yes. No, but people knew about the article. And
I never had it referred to.
I was astonished that I didn't come across...
I've never had it referred to, for good or ill.
Referred to, I'll show you. That,
all right. Never, no reaction.
And
the other pieces are a violent reaction. I mean, historical inevitability.
Yes.
Storm. Two concepts of liberty. Storm.
That's why I asked about...
Political ideas in the 20th century, no reaction. But Stalin is on. Yes, nothing. Not in foreign affairs, no.
Yes,
yes, it was foreign affairs. Quite right.
It's how interesting. Because I would expect a counter.
Nothing whatever. I had simply written off. Not one of the not one of the part, no Bible, not part of their subject.
Well, I tried to discuss it with friends here.
What did they say?
Those who are political scientists.
Well, who are they?
Oh, I mean, I'll speak,
for example,
with students. I mean, people like Avner de Shalit and others. What's the current of David Miller? You know, these kind of people.
I should think David Miller read it.
I'm sure they read it. I'm sure they read
David it. David Miller? No, it's not likely. Nice, quite nice man. Not very bright. All right.
Let's say, Michael Friedman, Barry, what's his name?
No, you mean Barry in London?
Yes, but there was a meeting here. He lectured...
Oh, but in London now. He would have read it, yes, but he would agree.
He would agree, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, you mean, what's his first name? Brian Barry? Brian Barry. You can ask Brian Knapers. What they say in Jerusalem.
Well, Brian is not an example of the Jerusalem
Alright.
Whenever somebody comes from the State Department, I ask Brian.
Alright, who teaches politics in Oxford? Max Beloff would not have read it. His successor, Sammy Feiner, might have done.
But let's say... what is well? It's philosophers, even philosophers. Let's say Jerry Cohen.
He might have read it. He was a pupil of mine. He was a pupil of mine. He might have read it.
All of them read. But I'll make a try. I'll make a go.
You can ask Pulitzer. Yes.
I'll ask Jerry.
Okay.
All right. But anyway, you still, I mean, there is nothing in the article that you would change your mind about.
I can't remember what I say, but I don't think so.
I'm sure, though. You wouldn't.
All I'm really saying is there are permanent questions, is what it's about, isn't it? It's not dead, because the question it asks are...
Yes, no, but it's more than that. I mean, you find a very... Time and again, you distinguish between the attitude of the social sciences and the...
Well, as always.
And I was expecting the attack from this direction, you see.
Social sciences give me up as a bad job. Bad job.
You actually say that it's nearly dead. But, see, that's the essence of the...
It was nearly dead. And it is nearly dead. And it is nearly dead. It is nearly dead. Look, the difficulty about it is simple. No, I'll say what I mean. The difficulty about political theory. No, there is no major political theorist in the 20th century. It's a very dangerous thing to say. When I said that to Crossman, he said, what about Mao? After all, something read by 500 million people, you can't rule out. Then who else is there? A Popper. Bernard Levin said, why not Popper? Not a major political thing, can it? No. I mean, a decent liberal. If he's a major thinker, then I am too. Not going to. Who is that? I mean, people of the size and reputation of Burke, Mill, I don't know, Mark.
They would say
Oakeshott. They would say, actually, you're quite right. They would, yes. Well, no, not much respectful. Really not. The anti-intellectualism is tremendous. Fundamentally, he's an enemy of the subject.
Would you be cross if I'll ask you...
No.
What among your articles and books? You have to be asked...
No answer.
What is the question?
Which among my articles, my books, do I think anything of?
If you had to list
They all are destroyed.
Yes.
Yeah, they're all destroyed. What I'm allowed to preserve.
Yes.
Well, not the book in Karl Marx. That's before the war finished. Not the Articles of Philosophy.
None of them?
None. They're all fundamentally minor. None of them make a difference. Of a radical kind. I'm trying to think. What else have I written? Not the one on history. Say history and theory. Well, I wonder about that. Then a little more. A little more. Wait a moment. Not... the only ideas which I think of mine, which I think have any permanent value at all, if at all, are the ideas that values are incompatible. Ultimate values are not compatible. Therefore, the idea of a perfect society is incoherent. And you see, that is, I don't know where I say that. I say it in my last lecture to Agnelli, where it's spelled out in full, but it's spelled out in full elsewhere too. Elsewhere, I think in the inevitability one. It is. And let me see what else. Certainly that.
The hedgehog and the fox?
Oh, no, it's amusing. I enjoy doing it. But it's more widely read than anything I've ever written.
And now
by far. It's read more widely than anything I've ever written in every country, including Russia. Now, not translated, but read.
And did you say
Viktor Herder? No, right. But never who is interested in Viktor Herder. I mean, I've revived him. It's true that I've had some part in restoring. Herzen is better than Viktor Herder. Maybe the articles I've written, the two or three articles I've written on Herzen, I would like to live. And I suppose, to Concept of Liberty. I stand by that.
Now, which means that your criterion is mainly, or only...
Is really political liberalism, really. Pluralism. Pluralism. That's what it's all about.
No, but you are looking for those articles that has in them... original.
Yes.
Course that will stand the test of
time. Time, yeah, I think so.
But let's say a good elaboration of a concept that is not so
original,
but still, by the sheer fact that you have your typical ability to address things.
To expound, yes. To describe, yes. To make clear. I'm quite a clear writer. Well, I did that for Marx, in a way. But I mean, Herder and Viktor, certainly. That's a case, pure exposition. Still, if I didn't write it, you could still read them. And they'll get it for themselves.
I have in mind this kind of...
I expound rather obscure thinkers with a certain clarity. I do clarify, yes. But that's clarificatory.
Yes, I know.
And also it relates them to contemporary problems, these two thinkers. It's not purely historical. It's not just scholarship.
And then I think two concepts of liberty.
Herder's really about Zionism.
Yes. But consciousness?
Yes. I think I liked Herder. I must have done. Because the ideas about nationhood is exactly what I've believed for a long time. If I hadn't been a Zionist, I wouldn't be so attracted. It's really a kind of a disguise for Zionism. Not all to go.
You told me more than once that you were and you are inhibited to, let's say, to dominate the minds of people.
But I don't like influencing people. I do not want to influence people.
And Mansi, you said it even in the context of responsibility.
Absolutely. That's what the point is.
When do you discover it in yourself?
When people say it about other people, I see he's greatly influenced by you. I always withdrew. That was a shock to me.